Most of us have heard this phrase, if you don't have anything nice to say, well, then don't say it at all. And then if you build a company or you lead a team or manage a team or an organization, the very thing you've been taught not to do since you were like 2 years old is suddenly a part of the job. The thing is, to get the best results out of people, to make a big impact, to solve complex problems that help people, you're going to have to challenge your team. You're going to have to challenge vendors. You're going to have to challenge people. And you're going to have to be willing to be challenged yourself. Keeping it productive and never personal can be tricky.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Take New Ground podcast, where we champion the creative class and help them grow personally and professionally. Here's your host, CJ Alvarado.
Hey, what's good, my friends? Today we're going to be talking about how we challenge folks, why that's tricky, and a very, very simple framework that I have gotten so much mileage out of, which is why I'm choosing to share it today. I have read a ton of books on the topic, everything from Lencioni's Five Dysfunctions of the Team to The Crucial Conversations, One Minute Manager. I mean, all these different books. But I just have found that when I'm in the trenches and I need something quick, I need something simple, and that's why I'm going to offer this. Before we jump into that, why is challenging people so difficult? Why do we hesitate? There may be a couple of people listening to this who are like, it's not a problem for me, and I kind of envy you, but you know you'll have to work on some other things, which I'll get to here in a minute. But for most people, challenging folks is really difficult. And one of the reasons why I think it can be challenging is because so often our identity is intertwined in our work. This is especially true with creatives. I've worked with creatives my entire career. I've worked as a creative, I've managed creatives and led creatives and worked with, you know, other companies' creatives. And oftentimes our value, our sense of identity is wrapped up in our work, in what we make. And so if the designs or websites or video or the content or the art or whatever it is that we make is widely accepted and celebrated, we feel up. And when it's not, or it crashes and it doesn't have results, we feel down. That's a dangerous place to be. And I think it's a huge temptation to have our identity wrapped up in the work. But the truth is this: you are not your work. You're not. You may be an expression. Your work may be an expression of you, of your ideas at the time, of the way you're trying to solve the problem in the market that you're in the company that you're in. But it's not you. Like, if your job ended today, there will still be something that we refer to as you. And so when there's that attachment to work, challenging people can become very difficult. If you've challenged them once and you see that it seems like an existential crisis for them because you've given them feedback on something, or you notice that they just dramatically shift in their energy and attitude, it makes it even harder, right? And at the end of the day, great teams, they change the relationship to challenge. When you work with elite artists, elite teams, elite athletes, challenge is like, you expect it. That's what we do. We challenge each other all the time in order to have the biggest impact we can, in order to win. And you want to get there because the velocity that is created in moving through challenge and getting to solving problems is so much faster than in those environments where everybody is so scared to challenge. So here's how I make it work. And this is just one thing. I want to credit, I believe it's Kim Scott who influenced a lot of this, but there's two pillars that any one of us can remember, and it has just worked for me. So here's how I make it work. First, you have to care personally. Second, you challenge directly. Care personally, challenge directly. Care personally, you know, seems like it's an easy thing to do. Most companies, most leaders, especially in the nonprofit sector, will say, we care about our teams. They may even have a little inspirational poster in the lunchroom, or it's part of their values to care about their team. Some people go as far as saying, we're like family here. At Spinach Co., we're like family, yo. Dang, I just rhymed. I love it. But see, that's not the problem. The problem is not saying that we care for people. The problem is that we don't quite get around to demonstrating it. So caring personally is about finding small ways to demonstrate that you care for people. This doesn't have to be extravagant. It can be a short text message. I really appreciated you speaking up in that meeting. Your insights were incredibly beneficial. Hearing your thoughts on that was really, really useful, and I really appreciate you doing that. Sending a quick text goes a long way. Buying someone a cup of coffee, of course, being generous with your praise, a quick phone call on the way home are all ways to demonstrate that you care for people. And when we make that a practice, not just, you know, some pithy leadership speak that we throw out there, well, you're able to leverage that care. There's a lot of trust that starts to get built, which is a perfect segue for challenge directly. Challenge directly basically means say what you think. If you see something, say something. It's as easy as that. You see something, just say it. Don't let yourself make it a bigger deal. Don't overthink it. Just, hey, here's what I see, and you say something. Now, some have no problem challenging directly. They seem blessed with the ability to just correct, critique, and comment on nearly everything. Right? They really only care about their own opinion, and then they move on. This is the extreme version of challenge directly, where they don't have the care personally piece in it. I feel many times these people are like pigeons. They fly in, shit all over everything, and then fly away. And I don't know about you, but I could guess you and your team are always on alert anytime a pigeon is overhead, right? If you're at the beach, chilling, having some lunch, and a bunch of pigeons are overhead, anxiety level may be a little bit higher. Now, there's going to be leaders who refuse to care personally. They don't care. That's their style. I can't do anything to help those. There are many of us, though, who go, I want to be able to challenge, but I also want my team to feel like I care. I care about the environment and climate that I create with my teams. So if you do care and you know that you have a leaning or a tendency to challenge directly, you can round out your leadership by just being more intentional about demonstrating care to your team. You don't have to change anything about yourself, right? We're not asking you to become more sentimental and soft. Not everybody's that way, and that's okay. We're not asking you to go to some training or seminar to make you more, you know, soft. You may want to do that. We're just saying, demonstrate it in the way that is authentic to you. Now, sure, a lot of folks challenge directly without caring personally, but the other is true too. There are some leaders who care personally, and they care so much they have a really hard time challenging anything or anyone. And even when they see that there's accountability that's needed or a lack of performance and results, they still don't challenge anything. They tend to care. They want to care so personally, care so deeply. And really what this means is they opt for a form of politeness, but what they end up is gaining a sense of social cohesion, but they get it at the expense of truth. And you want to avoid this for a couple of reasons that I want to mention. Great. The room seems a bit less tense, but you got that at the expense of truth. When truth isn't in the room, people don't really know if you're trying to encourage them or challenge them. They don't know if you're cool or if we have to really step it up in an area. And that is a dangerous place because people can leave your meetings or your interactions being like, I think I'm good. Not have or demonstrate any urgency on the matter that you know is a real issue. And then there's a vicious cycle. You don't see change. They're back in your office. You give them the encouragement sandwich. They don't know exactly what they should be doing or what level of urgency they should be applying. You don't see results. And there's that vicious cycle. The other piece, so nothing changes and you just keep getting more frustrated as leader, but you just keep wanting to have this politeness and this sense of social cohesion. Because there's no truth there, it's a gilded cage for everyone and nothing gets better. The other side of this is that leaders, and this I learned from a very tough lesson. This was something that I experienced personally in my own leadership early on running a company and managing teams. What I didn't realize was this form of politeness and false sense of social cohesion was decreasing the market value of my team. The people who come into my ranks, if they come in as B plus players and I challenge them and they challenge me and we get wins, there's something that happens. They start to get praise and recognition, and they start getting offered opportunities. They now have a cycle of attraction that happens. They take on new things. They get challenged. They get better. They get praise. They get results. They get opportunities. And there's this cycle. That's what some would call a leader that is a multiplier. You multiply the value in your team. But that only exists when you are comfortable challenging and it's safe to challenge because people know you care and those two things are working together. You raise the market value. There's a difference between market value and intrinsic value. Intrinsically, we're all valuable as human beings. We're all equal. But market value is decided on the value and impact and that you give to people and to an organization. It's not measured by effort. School gave you credit for effort. Business and organizational life, your client and customers don't care if you put in a good effort and you got them no results, right? So when we don't challenge in those environments, you decrease the market value of your team. How do you decrease it? Well, a B plus player comes into the same system. Instead of getting challenged, they work on something, they get mediocre results. You refuse to challenge. They don't get praise and recognition. Now there's people kind of wondering if they're the right folks, right? They never get challenged to step up, and be better. So they just kind of end up the way that they are. You go through that cycle a few times, and the next thing you know, your team starts getting dull. Your team's skills start to lose pace with the rest of the industry or the rest or next to others that are in the organization, and their market value decreases. They go from being a B plus player to being a B minus or a C player. And then those C players, they only attract C and D players. A C player can't attract an A player. That just doesn't happen. You don't have someone who's warming up the bench have enough status and pool to pull in A players. That's what we call a cycle of decline. Organizations and teams that don't have challenge, a healthy balance of challenge in them, they create cycles of decline where decent people come into the system, they're never really challenged, their market value decreases, and then those people end up finding other people that aren't really great either. So you have to be cautious about caring personally only and removing the challenge directly piece because it has a massive effect. That's why I believe you need both. That's why I love this little framework because it has both. And when people feel like you have both, so for example, when they feel like you care personally, you don't have to overthink how you say what you say or when you say it. Because they trust you. And I love this the most. I love to be able to go into a room with people that I know, they know I care about them and just be able to shoot straight. You guys, this didn't work. What we just, what we are about to present or what you want me to present is not great. It's difficult to defend, or we did not meet the goals here. It's great to be able to just challenge because and not get so hung up on what specific word I'm saying and am I offending everyone's delicate sensibilities because they know I care. I've had a practice of demonstrating that I care for them. I challenge the people around me and they challenge me. It's uncomfortable sometimes, but in the end, I know they care about me and I know they care about doing great work. I have to be honest, I'm in a season of my own life right now where I am so grateful for the people that I'm around. They challenge me. We can be eating lunch, just talking about something, and we're going in on a topic. We're not going in on each other. It's not personal. We're going in on an idea. We're going in on a theory. We're going in on a philosophy. We're challenging and beating up a product or a service. These are expressions of ourselves. They're not ourselves. They're not us. We're not attacking each other. The exhilaration that comes as a result of concluding that interaction, knowing, dude, we just blew holes through this and we're making it better because we have all of this talent sitting around this table, completely free to be honest and focused about the problem at hand. Give me that any day. I don't even want to be in a room with leaders or with people who aren't trying to be at that level. I'm curious how you guys handle this, how you make it work for you. I know there's a ton of frameworks and a ton of things out there. I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts on this. Do you feel like you lean toward one more than the other? Do you tend to care personally because it's easier? Do you tend to challenge directly? For me, I've had to learn how to be more direct, at times in my leadership. But I'm curious how you guys feel, where you are. I hope, though, that this has been valuable. Until next time.
5, 4, 3.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and follow CJ on all social platforms at CJ Alvarado.
Two, one.